So what we're going to do today, firstly, we're starting to look at a series on Proverbs, and Judith has asked me to introduce the book of Proverbs. So I'm going to do that by talking about why I think we need the wisdom that is provided for us in Proverbs so much in the world in which we live today. But first, our reading this morning, it's only a short reading, just to set the scene, really, and it's from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For she is more profitable than silver, and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. So the book of Proverbs is really about heavenly wisdom. And I think that in the world in which we live today, and in fact in the world if we'd have lived at any time, I think it would have been the same, that we really do need the wisdom of God in order to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to God, yes, but also beneficial to us and the people around us. Now, Mark Twain, I do like a good Mark Twain quote, I must confess. Mark Twain is reported to have said, and this was back in the days before television and radio, back in the days when all they got their news through the newspapers. He said, if you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. But if you do read the newspaper, you're misinformed. And I think in the 21st century, we can say exactly the same thing about social media. Because if you're not on social media, you're uninformed. But if you are on social media, you're just as likely to be misinformed. And social media, the internet, it's rapidly become the predominant means that people use to inform the way in which they live their lives. If you need to find something, if you need to work out how to do something, the old expression, just Google it, is absolutely right. That's what we do. You need to change the headlight on your car, then Google it, and it'll tell you how to do it. So it's rapidly becoming the predominant way in which people inform the way in which they live their lives. But is it the best way? It's a rhetorical question, because of course the answer is no, it's not the best way. So the question for us this morning, the question that the book of Proverbs addresses is this. It's where should we get our wisdom from? Or from whom should we get our wisdom? Now in the early years of our lives, if you can remember that far back, apologies, but we're told that we get our wisdom from our parents. We're told actually at the beginning of Proverbs that if we're wise, we listen to our father's instructions and we do not ignore our mother's teachings. That's a great place to start, and for most people that's something to be thankful for. But as we get older and we start to do more things for ourselves and we start to think a little bit more for ourselves, we start to think that we know better than our parents, don't we? Didn't we? It is the perennial dread of many a teenager that if they listen too closely to their parents, that they might end up like them. Again, Mark Twain. He said this. He said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to 21, I was astonished by how much he'd learned in just 7 years. When you start to look around for wisdom, there are no shortages of places that you can go. Our society has never had such easy access to immense amount of information as we have today. There are literally millions of pieces of information and knowledge that are instantly available to us through the internet. If you Google the word wisdom, other search engines are available, but if you use Google, you get something, and you get something like 708 million responses in less than 0.3 of a second. There is so much information out there. But herein lies the problem, because information and knowledge are not the same as wisdom. If you look up the definition of wisdom, you find this. It's defined as knowledge that is true or right, coupled with the just judgment as to action. So it's knowledge and action. You can have all the knowledge in the world at your fingertips, but if you don't know how to apply it correctly, you don't have wisdom. I find it interesting that even before the dawn of the internet, T.S. Eliot, he said this. He said, "Where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we have lost in information?" It seems that the more that we know, the less we know how to handle it. It seems that the more research we undertake, the less we know how to solve the problems of our society and the problems that confront us. We have an environment that is polluted. Our family lives are disintegrating. Our economy is in tatters. Our society is broken. And it's not through lack of information. What it is through lack of wisdom. Now, there are those who would say that wisdom is just another word for common sense. Either you have it or you don't have it. And I love Winston Churchill's quote on this. He said, "The problem with common sense is that it's not very common." Wisdom is something that has to be acquired. It was King Solomon who recognized this. This is why he wrote the book of Proverbs. It was Solomon who said that there is nothing that you can possibly desire that is more beneficial for your life and the lives of the people that live around you than wisdom. And he proved that with his own life. The story is told in 1 Kings chapter 3 when Solomon is being made king, and the Lord comes to Solomon and he said, "Solomon, I will, if there's anything that you want, whatever it is, I will let you have it." And Solomon thought about this for a while, and he could have asked for riches. He could have asked to have been the most powerful king to ever have lived on the earth, but he didn't. You remember what he chose? He chose wisdom. That's right. So wisdom is something that we must strive to acquire, because it's the most beneficial thing for our lives and the lives of the people around us. Now James, fast forward to the New Testament. James had a lot to say about wisdom, and he warns us that we've got to be careful where we get our wisdom from, because there are two types of wisdom. I've spoken about this before, you may remember. There is heavenly wisdom that comes from God. There is the heavenly wisdom that is provided for us in Scripture, that we find in Proverbs and the rest of Scripture. But there's also earthly wisdom. And earthly wisdom comes from a very different place than heavenly wisdom. And James says it's really important that you know the difference. Because if you don't know the difference, you're going to go down the wrong path. In 1637, there was a Spanish Jesuit priest who has the most wonderful name that I just simply love pronouncing. His name was Balthazar Gracian y Morales. Isn't that a incredible name? Balthazar Gracian y Morales. And he wrote a collection of approximately 300 maxims. He wrote a book of Proverbs. In effect, and he entitled it The Art of Worldly Wisdom. The Art of Worldly Wisdom. And this book actually became hugely popular throughout Europe, as it was supposed to give guidance on how to live fully, advance socially, and be a better person. Sounds like it should be okay, shouldn't it? But it includes some real gems, some of which at first reading sound like good advice. One of his maxims is leave your luck while winning. In other words, quit while you're ahead. It sounds like good advice, but it seems to be related to gambling, so maybe it's not such good advice. There's another of my favourites, which is keep a store of sarcasms and know how to use them. It's a bit like the old get your retaliation in first idea, isn't it? Yeah, I think James would have had quite a few things to say about that. But this is another one. This is my absolute favourite, is this. And just think about this for a moment. See if you can work out what this actually means. It's this. If you cannot clothe yourself in lion's skin, use fox pelt. If you cannot clothe yourself in lion's skin, use fox pelt. I think what he means by that is, if you can't be courageous, be cunning. I'm not sure about that either. Now, this is not a book that I would recommend for your spiritual library. This is not an alternative to the Book of Proverbs. But the reason that I mentioned it was because in 1892, there was a man called Joseph Jacobs, and he produced an English translation. And he wrote the introduction to his English translation, and he said this. He said, "Whether Gracian's maxims are true or useful scarcely affects their value. To the student of literature as such, the flimsiest sentiment or the merest paradox, aptly put, is worth the sublimest truth ill expressed." In other words, if it sounds good, it must be good, whether it's right or not. And then we find that fascinating, because that was 1892 and nothing has changed today. Because people still think that if something sounds good, that it must be right. And the Book of Proverbs tells us, and like the whole of Scripture tells us, that just because something sounds good doesn't mean that it is good. Just because something sounds right doesn't mean that it is right. And this is the problem with worldly wisdom. It replaces the truth with something that looks good and sounds good, but is actually rubbish. It's actually worthless. Actually, it's worse than that. The Apostle Paul knew this. He wrote to the Colossian church, and he warned them about this. He said, these rules, talking about worldly wisdom, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. But they lack any value. From Colossians chapter 2, verses 22 to 23. And Paul's not holding back here. He's saying, look, worldly wisdom leads to self-deception. Worldly wisdom is judged by God as spiritually foolish. And it's not just foolish, it's also pretty dangerous. Going back to Proverbs, in Proverbs 14, verse 12, Solomon also wrote the same thing. He says, there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end leads to death. There's a way that seems to be right, but in the end leads to death. There's a connection here, I think, to be made between Matthew 7 and Proverbs 14. You see, in Matthew 7, this is the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is talking about a wide road and a narrow road. And you remember where the wide road goes? It goes to destruction. Whereas the narrow road leads to salvation. That's the distinguishing characteristic of the wide road. It leads to destruction. Which is exactly the same distinguishing characteristic of worldly wisdom. It leads to destruction. And I think that's why so many people are travelling down the wide road to destruction, because they're following the wisdom of the world because they think it's right. And it isn't. See, that's the sobering reality about worldly wisdom. It's totally inadequate to bring us to God, not just initially in salvation, but in understanding God's heart and mind, in understanding God's design for human relationships, how we're to live our lives. And I think this is one of the reasons why the world is in such a mess, because men and women have refused to accept the wisdom of God and prefer to listen to the wisdom of the world. That's why we need Proverbs. That's why we need the whole Scripture, but that's why we need the wisdom that comes to us from the Book of Proverbs. And that's why we're going to be looking at Proverbs over the coming weeks. Because heavenly wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God, is, as we know from Scripture, it's a lamp to our feet that will guide us along paths of righteousness. It's what helps us to stay on the narrow way. Because Jesus reminded us that it's difficult to find and it's not easy to follow. And so we need help. We need help to find it. And we need help to follow it. God's wisdom helps us to follow the narrow path. So what can we do then to gain heavenly wisdom? And this is one of the things, the themes that we're going to be looking at over the coming weeks. Well, Psalm 111 verse 10 tells us that the beginning of true wisdom is found when we fear the Lord. And it then goes on to say that we grow in wisdom when we obey the Lord. That's why the book of Proverbs is so important, because it's God-given wisdom for living a life that honours Him, rooted in a covenant relationship, and ultimately it's fulfilled in Christ. You see, here's the thing. The message of Proverbs calls us to see that true wisdom does not begin with us, does not begin in ourselves, but with a reverent fear and respect for God. A humble trust in His truth, as revealed to us in Scripture. And one of the things that's so fabulous about the book of Proverbs is that it's not a book of theology. It's a very practical book. It's a deeply practical, deeply shapes the way that we speak, work, relate to others. It helps us to live with integrity as the Spirit forms in us lives of righteousness. Now, the book of Proverbs is not Google. It can't answer every question that you ask. But what it does do is that it sets patterns. And within the book of Proverbs, we find patterns of teaching for God's moral order. There are no guarantees that if you follow the advice of Proverbs that everything's going to work out hunky-dory, because we all know that life doesn't work that way. We all know we live in a broken world. But Proverbs draws a clear line between the wise who fear the Lord and the foolish who turn from Him. Jesus spoke about a wise man and a foolish man. Do you remember what He said about the wise man? Do you remember where He said he builds his house? On the rock. And where does the foolish person build their house? On the sand. And what happens if you build your house on the sand? It doesn't last very, very long. So Proverbs encourages us to build our lives on solid ground, to build our lives on the rock, to build our lives on Jesus, so that when whatever the world throws at us, we have something firm to hold us, so that we can withstand the trials and tribulations of this life. But if we build our lives on sand, if we build them on the wisdom of the world, there's a good chance that's not going to stand up under the storms of life. So one last sentence then. Within the care of families and the covenant community, I don't know what I was thinking when I wrote this. It sounded good when I wrote it, but I'm not sure now what I mean. Within the care of families and the covenant community, we are called to teach, disciple, and nurture one another, pursuing lives of practical holiness under God's sovereign rule, knowing that all wisdom begins and ends in Him. All wisdom begins and ends in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness to us. We thank You, Lord God, that there is wisdom available to us, that as James reminds us, if we're not sure what to do, Lord, all we have to do is to ask You, and you will provide that wisdom for us. Lord, help us to see Your word as the preeminent tool in our lives to show us how to live our lives, that our lives might bring glory to You, but that also that we might live life in all its abundance, know life in all its abundance, and be a blessing to those around us. Thank you, Lord.